मानरासर सारंभी वंशीवात तथास्तिता खर्षन वेणु स्वनायर गोपीर गोपीनाथ श्रेष्ठ May Lord Gopinath confer on us his grace. He inaugurated the Ras Lila by attracting the spiritual milkmaids of Braja with the enchanting tune of his flute, and he is seated at the base of the Bamsivat tree. Someone is translating in Dutch? Please announce and then. This beautiful verse is found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is the beautiful story of the life and teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of all the Vedic literatures composed by Srila Vedavyas, he has personally declared that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel, the essence, the conclusion of all of his transcendental compositions. In fact, in Bhagavatam itself, Srila Vyasadeva explains how after writing the Vedas, dividing them into the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, and Yajur Veda, he expanded upon those truths through the Upanishads, the Itihastas, the Mahabharata. All of the Vedic literatures are simply singing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one who understands the conclusion of the Vedas knows quite well that every sloka of every word is directly or indirectly glorifying Krishna. Vedavyas summarized the essence of all the knowledge in the Brahma Sutra. And then he wrote his own commentary on the Brahma Sutra, which is called Srimad Bhagavatam. Previous to writing the Bhagavatam, after giving this world the deepest, most profound and elaborate body of scriptures, he was still unsatisfied. And sitting in his ashram in Badrinath on the bank of the river Saraswati, he was feeling himself very much discontent. He revealed his own mind in his writings, how he was thinking, I have written so many literatures for the benefit of humanity, only out of compassion. Why there is such an emptiness, there is such a dissatisfaction pervading my heart. At that time, that great saintly Acharya, Narada Rishi, appeared. Narada Muni received transcendental knowledge from Brahma, who directly received knowledge from Lord Sri Krishna at the very dawn of creation. And he imparted the essence of the truth in this great disciplic succession, originating in God himself, to Vyasadeva. He explained, in the various Vedic literatures you have written, all are mixed with karma khanda, jnana khanda, astanga khanda. But you have failed to write a literature which exclusively and solely deals with unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. With the instructions of Sri Narada, Vyasadeva wrote to his ultimate satisfaction the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna himself. Within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the story of various surrendered souls like the Pandavas, like Shukadev, Maharaj Parikshit, Prahlad, Dhruva, Ambarish. The Srimad Bhagavatam culminates with describing how the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, personally descended from this divine abode of Goloka to this world in his original form of Sri Krishna. He describes the appearance of Krishna, his Bal-lila, his Poganda-lila. We described this morning the Bal-lila of Sri Krishna, which is very auspicious to be heard in this month of Kartik. How Krishna revealed, even from the very moment of his birth in this world, that he was the Supreme Absolute Truth. And from the time he was only days old, he destroyed the great, powerful Rakshasi Putana, revealed all the universe and the creation within his mouth to Mother Yashoda. Then he grew into his Kumar Lila, where he was a little boy, and gradually he was given care of the calves, and later he was given care of the cows. When he was only 7 years old, the great Indra, that mighty king of all the heavens, being offended by Krishna's demand for exclusive worship to himself, he sent torrents of rain, the type of rains that are sent only at the time of the destruction of this sphere of the universe. The types of rains where within minutes the whole earth is overtaken by vast ocean of water. But Krishna, although a small child, he told the Brijabasis, the calves and the cows, "Do not fear. I will protect you." And he lifted the mighty Govardhan hill, and he held it up with the smallest finger of his left hand for 7 days and seven nights. As he lifted the Govardhan hill, all the residents of Vrindavan collected, and for those 7 days and seven nights, they were so charmed by seeing the beauty of Krishna in this most wonderful form of Giridhari that they forgot all about eating, drinking, or sleeping. They were simply enjoying the eternal ambrosial nectar of his darshan. Because Krishna, who is the all-attractive lover of the heart of every soul, his beauty and his sweet mercy is the complete fulfillment of all of our senses, our mind, of all of our desires. If we have, Rupa Goswami warns us, if we have any attractions for the temporary materialistic ways of this society, do not look upon the beautiful form of Krishna, who stands on the bank of the Jamuna in his threefold bending form, playing upon his celebrated flute. Because once we see that beauty, we become so much imprisoned by his kind darshan, his kind mercy, his all-attractive form, his all-attractive name, his all-attractive pastimes, that we no longer aspire for any of the dry, temporary pleasures of this world of suffering. So Indra, understanding he was defeated by this small child, came down and personally surrendered to Sri Krishna. Previous to this, even Brahma, the most powerful living being within the universe, after stealing the cows, the calves, and the children, he also surrendered to Krishna when Krishna revealed a mystic power much greater than his own. So through the Bal Leela, Kumar Leela, Poganda Leela, Krishna reveals himself as the all-powerful supreme truth, a position that cannot be imitated by any human being, any demon, or even any demigod, a position that cannot even be imitated by any of the other incarnations of Narayan. And at the age of 8 years old, he decided to reveal to the world the most intimate and important of all of his pastimes. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, written by Vedavyas, culminates in these five chapters describing the Ras Leela of Lord Sri Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami goes through great efforts, and our own Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of the authorized acharyas, elaborated very deeply on the profound truth that Krishna's enjoyable pastimes with the gopis of Vrindavan is a purely spiritual exchange of the highest and most intense expressions of love. Krishna is beyond the modes of material nature. Krishna is Atmaram. He is fully satisfied in himself. He needs nothing outside of himself for pleasure. The conditioned souls, could someone tell them to be more quiet? The conditioned souls are constantly seeking some object of pleasure external from their own spiritual heritage for satisfaction, trying to find happiness by giving pleasure to the five senses and the mind. But Krishna is Satchit Ananda. His pure spiritual form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And therefore, he expands himself as his own pleasure potency to enjoy the exchange of spiritual pleasure. And the jivatmas, the living entities, who are expansions of his pleasure's potency as parts and parcels, are simply meant in their original form to give enjoyment to Krishna. And in giving that enjoyment to Krishna, the living entity experiences the natural ecstasy of his own spiritual heritage. So the gopis of Vrindavan are eternally liberated souls, or souls who are being purified at the last stages, bringing them to the level of prema bhakti. Krishna, on this very night of Sarat Purnima, he desired to reveal this pastime for the pleasure of his devotees, for his own transcendental pleasure, and to attract the hearts and minds of all fortunate people in this material world. The full moon night of the autumn season is considered the most beautiful time of the entire year. Here in Bombay, It's hard to appreciate the difference between this night and any other night because we're living in such a terribly unnatural condition. How many of you noticed the moon? There's so many distractions. There's so many skyscraper buildings. It's hard to find the moon. And so many flashing lights, and so much traffic, and so many crazy people running here and there, looking for so many ways to enjoy, that the natural, pure beauty of nature is practically unseeable in such a environment. But, in fact, in a natural environment, this is the most beautiful night of the year. Especially in Vrindavan, which is the natural home for all fortunate, spiritually minded living entities. So on this evening, the beautiful moon appeared in the sky with a beautiful reddish golden form. In fact, the moon is the ancestor of Lord Krishna. Krishna appeared within the Yadu dynasty, the dynasty of the moon god, and therefore the moon was always making nice arrangements to give added pleasure to Krishna's lila. Just like at the time of Krishna's birth, it was Ashtami. It was essentially a moonless night. But because Krishna was appearing in his family, on that moonless night, the full moon appeared in its full glory, illuminating all directions to celebrate the coming of Krishna. So the moon appeared in his most beautiful and splendid wardrobe on that night to decorate and illuminate the entire atmosphere of Vrindavan with the most charming beauty. In fact, the whole of Vrindavan Dham was decorated more beautiful than ever before for Krishna's pleasure. In Vrindavan, nothing is inanimate. There is no dead matter. When Krishna descended to this world, he brought the spiritual world along with him. Everything was chinmay, spiritual potency. Every leaf, every shrub, every tree, all of the birds and the bees, all living entities, everything within Vrindavan was putting all devotional efforts to create the most sweet and charming and pleasing atmosphere as a background for Krishna to enjoy with his devotees. So please understand, the Ras Lila is a loving affair between Krishna and all of Vrindavan. Everything in Vrindavan is assisting the wonderful relations of love between Radha and Krishna. That is the only object of the eternally liberated soul's consciousness, is simply to assist in every possible way in the beautiful loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna. In Vrindavan, no one and nothing wants to enjoy Krishna for themselves. Everyone simply wants to assist in giving pleasure to the wonderful divine couple of Sri Sri Radha and Gopinath. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this principle as the highest principle, the essence and culmination of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahoitiki aprati hatha bhakti. To serve the Lord in unalloyed, unmotivated devotion, simply to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, to assist the servants of Sri Radharani in giving pleasure to Sri Krishna. So the atmosphere of Vrindavan was manifesting in such a way just to awaken feelings of desire for love in the heart of Krishna. At that time, to reciprocate, Krishna stood on the bank of the holy river Jamuna under the Bamsivat tree and began to play upon his flute. As he played, Venu, the beautiful sweet vibration, filled the entire atmosphere. Every molecule, every atom was simply permeated by the beautiful sound of Krishna's flute. And every living entity in Vrindavan, upon hearing that flute, which thrilled the very soul, was enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy. And the gopis, who were in various places, when the flute entered into their ears and struck the core of their hearts, they became ecstatically enlivened with the desire to please Krishna. Please know that you cannot be a gopi if you have the slightest desire to enjoy Krishna. The spiritual bodies of the gopis and their minds were simply for the pleasure of Krishna. And sometimes they would appear to want to enjoy Krishna only because that appearance gave more pleasure to Krishna. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that there is no superior form of worship of the personality of Godhead than that of the gopis of Vrindavan. And try to understand how strict Lord Chaitanya was. He was a sannyasi. Women, when they approached him, did so with great respect from a relative distance. He was very strict. And Chota Haridas, one of his followers, for slightly deviating from the principles, he was banished forever from the Lord's association. He was very strict. And he was very uncompromising to follow the highest, topmost moral principles. In fact, he was the most strict of all sannyasis who ever lived on earth. And yet, he worshipped and preached the principle that the standard of the love of the gopis for Krishna is the highest and most pure of all spiritual realizations. And Shukadev Goswami, who narrates Srimad Bhagavatam, he was such a liberated soul that he was so transcendental to this material nature, he could not identify the difference between a male or a female, because he simply was not able to look at bodies. He would just see right into the soul. When Vedavyas was chasing after his son, and they were wandering through the forest, they came across some ladies who were taking a bath without clothes. And when Shukadev Goswami walked by, they simply went on with their bath. And when Vedavyas came, they all became very much ashamed and started coming out of the water in a great commotion, putting on clothes. And Vedavyas asked, why? He is young. He is only a teenage boy. why you're not ashamed to stand naked before him, and I am old enough to be your father or grandfather. They said, because you are a grihastha, although you are a liberated soul, you must make distinctions. What is man, what is woman? But this son of yours, Shukadeva Goswami, he doesn't see the body. He doesn't see the world. He just sees the Atma everywhere. So it was Shukadeva Goswami who himself explains in Srimad Bhagavatam that there is no higher principle of ecstatic love. There are no such saintly persons or liberated yogis more worshipable than the gopis, who knew the highest method of pleasing Krishna. So the gopis, who appeared like very simple, innocent, ordinary ladies living in the cowherd village of Braja, they were performing their evening duties. Some were milking cows. And when they heard the beautiful song of the flute, even though the cow was only partially milked, they just left the bucket, left the milk, left the cow, and ran with great enthusiasm into the forest to meet with Krishna. And some were cooking. The pots were on the stove. But when Krishna's flute enters your heart, when the call of God comes into your life, you cannot wait. The gopis, they left the preparations on the stove. Others were feeding their families. Some were laying with their husbands. Some were nursing their children with their milk. Some were performing the household duties of cleaning and so forth. Some were resting or sleeping in the bed. Whatever activities they were performing, some of them were putting on their cosmetics, kajal in their eyes. Some were putting on their clothes. But they couldn't even wait to finish, because they wanted to please Krishna. When Krishna calls upon the soul, the soul must respond to that call. And the purer our desire and our devotion is, the more we are willing to sacrifice anything and everything for the pleasure of Krishna. The gopis of Vrindavan displayed the highest sense of vairagya or renunciation. Sometimes we see great sadhus, they leave everything of the world to go to the Himalayas, where they live in very, very cold winters in the ice and snow. They wear no clothes. They do not eat. Some drink little Ganges water. Some fast to the extent where they only breathe the air. They follow the principles of complete celibacy. Some of them moni vrat, where they will not speak a single word from their mouth throughout their life. And people consider that these men are very renounced. But this renunciation is not even compared to a drop to the ocean of the true renunciation of these beautiful damsels of Braja. Because they forsook everything, not for their own liberation or for their own emancipation, but only for the pleasure of Krishna. For a young girl to go into the dead of night, into the dangerous jungle, is very fearful. that they transcended all fear with the desire to please Krishna. The attachments of family are very, very strong. Security, protection, affection. But within a moment, without consideration for the pleasure of Krishna, they left everything. And even their good name and fame within society, their chastity according to moral standards, their reputation, they thought nothing of it. Their only concern was, how can I please Krishna? I must please Krishna. Krishna's calling. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that it is the meditation on the renunciation of the gopis that the greatest sannyasis of the Gaudiya Sampradaya must meditate upon to get a real spirit of what is vairagya. It is explained that some of these gopis, they were prevented to go by force because they were not yet completely purified. In Vrindavan, there are Nitya Siddha residents who descended from the spiritual world along with Krishna to assist in his pastimes. There were also perfected living beings who achieved unalloyed devotional service. And were first promoted to Gokula Vrindavan within this world to have the association of the Nitya Siddha, residents of the spiritual world, train under them, and then go back to Godhead. And there were others, like the sages who met Lord Ramchandra in the Dandakaranya forest, and those who were the personified Vedas and offered beautiful prayers. They had very, very strong and purified motives for devotional service. But they weren't yet perfect in their prema. And some who attained very, very high states of spiritual realization, and as Bhagavad Gita explains, because they did not completely perfect their lives, they took birth in the higher planets as demigods. And they were sent down, they were called to assist Krishna in his lila as gopas and gopis. So the gopis in these sadhan siddha categories, they were not permitted to go to the ras dance. They were being prevented by family members. And feeling on the verge of death in separation, their hearts burning to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. In that separation, the flaming burning of desire for Krishna's service in their heart completely burned to ashes any last traces of material contamination, and in this way they achieved the highest stage of pure prema bhakti. And the others, they went, and there, after traveling through the forest, they come to the Bamsiva tree, where Krishna was standing in his beautiful threefold bending form. And they all approached him with very shy but ambitious desires to give him pleasure, transcendental pleasure. And Krishna inquired, "What may I do for you? Why have you come? How are you? It is a very dangerous thing for young girls to be going out in the dead of night through these dangerous jungles. There are ferocious animals and all sorts of other mysteries. Why have you come? You have your husbands, you have your children, you have your brothers, you have your parents. You should be home with them. It is not right for you to leave and come to this place." Krishna spoke very, very nice moral principles to the gopis. And he told them to go home. And when the gopis heard this katha from Krishna, their hearts became very morose. They had come to serve him and to please him. They began to look down with tears in their eyes, troubled hearts, drawing lines in the sacred soil of Vrindavan with their toes, and they began to speak. They said, "O Krishna, we have come here and we have given up everything, surrendered all the things that are so difficult to relinquish in this world only for your pleasure. How could you send us home? You say our first responsibility is to our loved ones, but you are the source of everything. You are the source of everyone. You are the soul of all souls. You are everyone's eternal husband, eternal father, eternal lover, eternal friend. The temporary relationships we have in this world have a beginning and an end. But the existence of everyone we love in this world is only due to your mercy. The only thing anyone can love in anyone else is the presence of God. This is the truth. Whoever we love, whoever we have affection for, whatever we're attracted to, we should understand it is only because that being is part and parcel of Krishna that these attractive qualities charm our heart. The soul, when it leaves this body, who is attracted to the dead corpse? Even if the dead corpse is our most beloved object of affection, we take that body and put it in a hole in the ground, or we put it on the pyre of fire. It is the soul that is attractive. It is the soul that appeals our mind and our heart. And what is it about the soul that is so attractive, that induces our affection? When a man and a woman fall in love and become maddened, what is that? What is that magic? What is that charm? It is the attraction between the soul and Krishna. But because we do not realize the spiritual quality, we are completely illusioned by the perverted reflection. And because we want to enjoy for our own sense gratification, that very affection turns into a miserable condition of lamentation and frustration. So the gopis were preaching, not preaching, but they were speaking the highest truth, that Krishna, you are the source of everything, and the only lovable object is you. And it is only because of your attraction flowing through various living beings or various phenomena that we have any attraction. So in surrendering to you, in loving you, in serving you, it is like watering the root of the tree. When we water the root of the tree, automatically every part of the tree is completely nourished. Similarly, when we surrender to Krishna, all other responsibilities, all other relationships are completely fulfilled. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi shamimasuchaha. That we should abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender, Krishna says to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. The gopis were the personification of the highest realization of this verse. Sometimes people, and even the Srimad Bhagavatam, describes the gopis' lust for Krishna. But what is the nature of that lust? It is not like the lust of this world, where we want to be the Lord and enjoy. the gopis had unquenchable, unsatiable desire, lust, to give Krishna happiness, to give Krishna pleasure, nothing for themselves. The beautiful story, when Krishna had headache and he sent his devotee, get the dust of the feet of the great jnanis, the great yogis, the great ascetics, tell them I need it to apply to my head to purify my headache. But no one would give, because all the great yogis in the Himalayas, all the great jnanis in their academic institutions studying the shastras, all the great karma yogis performing their yagas, they all understood that if we put our feet on the head of God, we will go to hell forever. They refused. Krishna said, go to Vrindavan, request the gopis. The gopis immediately began to collect their dust. Yes, you bring it immediately. Do you not know that if you give the dust of your feet, you will go to hell forever? Of course we know this. But we don't mind. We are willing to go to hell and suffer in the burning flames amongst the Yamadutas for the rest of eternity, if through that sacrifice, Krishna can get even 1 second of relief from his headache. This is the kama of the gopis. This is the burning desire of the damsels of Vrindavan. When Krishna saw their hearts, he was obliged with great happiness to fulfill their desires. In fact, Krishna told the gopis that the standard of your sacrifice for my service is so great that I cannot repay you. With all of my opulences in all the spiritual and material worlds, I do not have enough wealth to repay for what you have given me. Therefore, I only request you to be satisfied with the devotion you have. And then Lord Sri Krishna began to sing and to dance with the Braja Gopis on the bank of Jamuna. And then he decided that he wanted to perform a wonderful pastime, which was to fulfill many purposes. Each gopi was dancing with Krishna, and Krishna expanded himself, so it appeared that each gopi was with Krishna only. And Krishna was thinking that they are becoming proud. And when my devotee becomes proud, I do not stay with them. Now there are many levels to understand this. The gopis had no material pride. Their only pride was in Krishna. A true devotee, we are proud of Krishna. We are never proud of ourselves. Because we know that prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate. That Krishna is the source of our intelligence, our abilities, everything. We cannot see without the grace of Krishna. We cannot hear, we cannot think, we cannot speak, we cannot move. Therefore, what do we have to be proud of? Everything is the property of Krishna. And as he can give it, he can take it. And he will take it, according to his free will. So devotee finds endless, ecstatic joy in their pride in how great is Krishna. Therefore, the devotees are always glorifying Krishna, always speaking of his beauty, of his wonderful pastimes, of his teachings, always chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this material world, people are very much taking pleasure in chanting their own pastimes. I have done like this. So many years ago I did like this. And then after, we desire millions of years to drink the nectar of that glorification. Ah, yes, he has seen the truth. Now you should share this most intimate, confidential knowledge with the whole world. Tell them all my glories. I've been trying, but they're not listening to me. You tell. We may not say this because we want to appear a little humble, but actually this is what the false ego is thinking. We love to hear our own glories. But when we understand reality, we understand that all beauty, all opulences in full are emanating from Krishna. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashashashriya. All knowledge, all strength, all beauty, all wealth, all fame, all renunciation is in Krishna. And if we can borrow one drop from the ocean of his opulences, the whole world thinks we're so wonderful. Krishna's Yogeshwar. He's the master of all mystic powers. If a jivatma in this soul has a portion of a particle of one drop of the ocean of Krishna's mystic powers and displays it, the world worships him as God. How great is Krishna? Therefore, we do not want to be God. We do not want to be glorified. But we are very proud to glorify Krishna. And we are very proud to glorify those devotees who have given their lives to Krishna. But we consider it like poison to hear our own glories. So in this way, the gopis' pride was how merciful, how wonderful, how loving Krishna is. But on another level, Krishna wanted to show that if one has a different type of pride, if a devotee is in any way proud of himself, Krishna will not remain where that false pride is present. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. If we want to be with Krishna always, this is the most important of all instructions. It is the crest jewel of all verses. Without realizing this in full, we cannot really approach Krishna. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself. Only in this state of consciousness can we chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. In this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna is within his name. To chant the holy name of the Lord in the proper state of mind constantly, we have to be completely humble with no sense of false pride. In this way we can be with Krishna eternally. But as soon as we transgress this most golden and sacred teaching, Krishna will disappear as he disappeared from the gopis. But actually, Krishna wanted to show the world the intensity of the love of the gopis. When Krishna left them, they became completely maddened in separation. Vipralamba seva. Service and separation from Krishna is very intense, and it only increases the awareness of Krishna's most beautiful and wonderful qualities within our heart. So the gopis went wandering through the forest looking for Krishna. They were asking the trees and the creepers. They were asking the flowers, "Have you seen that beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj? Has he come this way? Please heal our burning hearts and tell us, which way has Krishna gone?" But the trees did not answer. The grass remained silent. So they began to ask the earth itself, "Oh, Mother Earth, you are so fortunate that the beautiful footprints of Krishna are decorating your head. Where has he gone?" And they began to ask the animals and everyone. And they began to cry out Krishna's names. And they began to imitate Krishna's pastimes. In this way, they exhibited complete absorption in Krishna. With their body, their mind, their words, and their very soul, which is the ultimate perfection of all the desires of the soul, to be completely absorbed in remembering Krishna. Actually, according to the acharyas, this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam was revealed to show the supreme exalted status of Krishna's own personal pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. Radha and Krishna are one person, the absolute truth. But Krishna divides into the forms of Radha and Krishna, the Ashrai and the Vishai, the supreme lover and the supreme object of love, the supreme worshipper and the supreme object of worship. Radharani is the supreme personality of Godhead in the aspect of his pleasure potency, who gives complete pleasure to Krishna. Krishna's entire soul pleasure is through his own potency, Srimati Radharani. And all the expansions of that pleasure potency in all jivatmas are eternally meant simply to assist her in giving pleasure to Krishna, to enhance the wonderful lila of the spiritual world. So Krishna left all of the gopis to be alone with Srimati Radharani, just to reveal to the world her eternal and supreme glory. Anyways, this wonderful pastime goes on. Krishna, at one point in Vrindavan, there are so many wonderful holy places where all of these particular incidences that we are speaking historically took place. There is Nidiban, the place where Radha and Krishna rest. There is Seva Kunj, where the arti of Radha Krishna takes place, and where Krishna massages the legs of Radharani during the Rasa Lila. There is Sringaravat, where Krishna picks flowers to decorate her hair. These are all wonderful and beautiful places that can be visited even today and remember this wonderful spiritual lila of the Lord. So Krishna, at one point he left Radharani and she joined with the other gopis, and together they were all crying out Krishna's names, and Krishna, seeing the love of their hearts, appeared to them, and in this way he fulfilled all of their desires to fulfill his desires. And they performed the beautiful dance of the Rasa Lila on the banks of the river Jamuna in the holy forests of Vrindavan. In this way, Krishna revealed that when we long for his loving service so deeply, when we develop a spiritual form of greed, where we long to chant his names, we long to hear his glories, we long to serve him, we long to come to the temple to see his beautiful form, when we cultivate those sentiments, Rupa Goswami explains, just like people are greedy for money, or greedy for sex life, or greedy for so many of the pleasures of this world, we should cultivate greed to please Krishna, to hear and chant the glories of Krishna. And through this process, Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself accordingly. How to develop that desire? That Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha in Krishna, who have appeared in one divine form, came to reveal to the world. You see, this beautiful lila of Radha and Krishna is extremely elevated. It is extremely spiritual. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the Rasa Lila is so pure that if one hears it regularly with complete faith and a spiritually inspired mind, just by hearing it, we become completely free from all the sexual agitations of material life. But it is explained by Srila Prabhupada, as well as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that in the premature stages, where we are not completely cleansed of any material desires or any false ego, we must hear in the mood of Maharaj Parikshit. He listened with rapt attention to the beautiful stories of how the Lord creates, how he appears as Kshirodakshai Vishnu, Karanadakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, how he appeared to great devotees like Dhruva or Ambarish or Prahlad, how his various incarnations came to display their various opulences, how when Krishna appears in his original form, he performs so many pastimes, sometimes killing demons and sometimes giving pleasure to his devotees. We must learn to take pleasure and hear regularly all these wonderful aspects of Krishna, as well as the Rasa-lila. If we prematurely try to center all of our attention and focus only on these conjugal pastimes, it actually becomes unhealthy for our spiritual progress. Srila Prabhupada explained the Rasa-lila. He also explained the wonderful affairs of the loving lila of Krishna and Radha in the Antya-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he also explained so much philosophy, so much scientific information of the absolute truth. What is the difference between the body and the soul? What is the process of giving up sense gratification. He also teaches us so many of the wonderful, wonderful pastimes of the Lord in various incarnations and various loving relationships he has with devotees throughout history. And we must hear attentively, with enthusiasm and with greed, all of these wonderful pastimes. And then, gradually, through proper sadhana, through proper bhajan, through following the four regulative principles absolutely strictly, through becoming completely attached to chanting the name offenselessly, gradually the real, true desire and qualification to meditate exclusively on these wonderful pastimes of Vrindavan awakens in our heart. Srila Prabhupada gave us Vrindavan Leela, but he also gave us Gita. He also gave us Life Comes From Life, where he kicked scientists in the head with his boots if they preach atheistic philosophies. He gave us a system and a science by which we should be anxious to hear all of these wonderful, wonderful expressions of the love of a pure devotee for the Lord. And if we chant and hear attentively in the association of devotees, regularly, throughout our life, according to the proper direction of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, then gradually we can actually appreciate and realize the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada explains that in this age of Kali Yuga, Radha Krishna appears in the beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna, with the bhav, the mahabhav, the love of Radha within his heart, and the beautiful, effulgent, golden complexion of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna enjoying their most intimate pastimes in the beautiful form of a sannyasi. And Lord Chaitanya has come to distribute the love of Vrindavan to everyone. Lord Chaitanya has come to intervene and supersede all the material and spiritual laws, to give Braj Bhav, to give the love of Vrindavan to everyone. The only qualification is that we accept it. And what does it mean to accept? It means to follow the principles that he has given, to become the servant of the servant of the servant, to strive to become humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and none in return. We must concentrate our energy on these principles foremost, and to perform our bhajan of regularly, every day, chanting the holy names of japa according to the vows we take. To every day hear Gita, Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Through following these principles, we accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna, invited the whole world to enter into their beautiful Rasleela, their beautiful dance of spiritual love through the process of Harinam Sankirtan. This process of chanting and dancing is the process of the spiritual world. If we develop proper relationships with devotees and learn to serve them with great humility and live according to strict sadhana, then when we come to the kirtan and we dance and we chant, we will gradually experience the genuine spiritual emotions of Vrindavan. But in this beautiful form of Sankirtan, there is no danger. There is no chance of misconception. There is no chance of polluting ourselves and thinking that something spiritual is material. It is the method which is specifically recommended in this age of Kali Yuga, the age of the greatest spiritual disease. So Srila Prabhupada had complete faith in the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. He knew if we humbly become the servant of the servant of the servant and simply chant the holy names in that mood, then by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will awaken the highest, sweetest, and most sublime realizations of our eternal loving relationship with Lord Krishna in the spiritual world of Vrindavan. Therefore, Guru Maharaj would always tell us, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So for this reason, whatever the occasion, we celebrate it by chanting the holy names. Chaitanya himself with his devotees would celebrate all of these wonderful festivals in such wonderful ways. This evening of Sarat Purnima is one of the most beautiful, beautiful festivals of Vrindavan. I remember 24 years ago when I was in Vrindavan, just living in Jamuna Bank, amongst the residents of Vrindavan. For weeks and weeks and weeks, everyone was talking that Ras Purnima is coming. You must be here for Ras Purnima. And on that night, in various little ashrams and temples, I remember I was with one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. They took the deities out of the temple, the original deities, and put them in a beautiful garden with tulsi leaves and flowers, and they made a beautiful altar of leaves and flowers, and they offered so many nice preparations of sweets, and the beautiful moonlight was reflecting off the beautiful forms of the deities, and the devotees spent many hours in that little garden singing to Radha and Krishna beautiful songs and chanting the Maha Mantra. So tonight, the beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath will be wonderfully worshipped, and we all have a chance to take part in this beautiful worship. In fact, for several days, devotees of Radha Gopinath Temple have been preparing to make wonderful offerings to the Lord on this special occasion. Special offerings that we have never made before. Hopefully, it will work. Ultimately, everything is in Krishna's hands. But the idea in the meditation is this, that Radha and Krishna are the center of our lives, and to please them and to serve them is the perfection of our life. So to have the opportunity to attend and take part in these wonderful festivals is one of the most glorious methods of perfecting our consciousness. Prabhupada said, when you decorate the deity, Krishna is pleased, and he decorates your heart with bhakti, with love, with genuine spiritual satisfaction. So tonight, actually today, from early morning, probably 50 or 60 devotees have been working continuously, making wonderful decorations to create the atmosphere of Vrindavan here in Chopati, Bombay. And actually, it is the devotion of the bhaktas which actually does attract Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains that Vrindavan is that holy land that descended from the spiritual world, that manifested approximately 90 miles northeast of Delhi. But wherever the devotees, with sincere devotion, are making wonderful, wonderful arrangements of devotional service for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, and wherever they come together to sincerely chant the holy names, just as Krishna descends, the spiritual abode of Vrindavan descends as well. So in a few moments, this darshan, which only takes place once a year, in fact, this particular darshan takes place once a lifetime. So it is a very wonderful fortune that we all have to be here. So let us very sincerely pour our hearts, our minds, our entire lives into beholding the beautiful land of Braja, the beautiful form of Nithai Gaura Chandra, Sri Radha Gopinathji, along with their eternal consorts, the peacocks and parrots and swans and cows and monkeys, and Sri Gopalji, and most of all, to offer our humble service through very loudly, very attentively, very sincerely chanting the